He barely noticed the silver Buick that stopped in front of him.
"What's up, man? You look so down, that curb looks like up."
It was Robbie, the best basketball player at Hazelwood Middle School. Gerald liked Rob, who was always cracking jokes and acting silly.
"What you doing here so early?"
Gerald asked.
"My dad drops me off every morning before he goes to work. It's a little early, but I finish up my homework or go to sleep in the locker room. That door's always open early. Want a donut?"
"Nah, man. I got a lot on my mind today."
Rob's dad, who was standing at the back of the car getting Robbie's bag and lunch out of the trunk, glanced at Gerald with concern. Gerald didn't know Rob's dad very well, but he probably knew him better than any father of his friends. Mr. Washington was active on the school parent council and came to all of the basketball games, track meets, and school plays. He and his wife often had Rob's friends to their home on weekends. They had a finished rec room, a huge backyard, and a refrigerator that always seemed to be well stocked with essentials like pizza and ice cream and soda pop. Gerald wasn't sure if they were wealthy or not, but they sure had lots of things that he and Monique and Angel couldn't afford. Gerald had only been there once, and although he'd felt uncomfortable at first, Rob's family had made him feel at home. Mr. Washington touched Gerald on the shoulder.
"You all right, son?"
he asked with genuine concern. Gerald had planned to shrug, laugh, and head to the gym with Rob. But the touch of Rob's father's hand on his shoulder seemed to let everything come loose. He tried to hold them back, but tears of fear and worry began to escape from his tightly clenched eyes. Embarrassed, he sniffed and lowered his head. Rob's father motioned for his son to go on into the building and squatted on the curb next to Gerald.
"Let's go get something to eat, Gerald," he said quietly.
He offered his hand. Gerald sighed, wiped his eyes on his coat sleeve, took the offered hand, and got in the car. Mr. Washington asked no questions at first. At McDonald's, he ordered a cup of coffee and a hot chocolate, got extra cream and sugar for both, and steered Gerald to a booth near the back. Gerald sipped the cocoa gratefully, the warmth of it relaxing him. He thought of Aunt Queen, who loved her black coffee every morning. He knew that Queen would have liked Rob's dad. She approved of black men in blue suits who had jobs and offices downtown. Mr. Washington had called his office from a payphone, so he casually read the morning paper while Gerald sat silently, trying to figure out where to start.
"It's my sister," he said finally.
"How old is she?"
"Almost 7. Her name is Angel."
"Is she sick?"
"No, she, she's got, chicken pox."
"I thought you said she wasn't sick."
"Well, the chicken pox is not the problem. See, she can't go to school, so Jordan stays with her and he...
"Who's Jordan?"
"My stepfather. He drinks, and he's mean, and he smacks me around, but that's not the problem. I can handle it. I think he's doing stuff to Angel that he shouldn't. And I don't know what to do. I can't go to the cops. They might not believe me. She's so scared of him, she won't even admit it to me, but I know he's hurting her. And I don't know what to do or who to tell or..."
He stopped, in tears again, but this time he wasn't ashamed. He felt cleaner now that he had finally told someone. Someone who he knew could help.
"You were right to tell me, Gerald," Mr. Washington assured him with a sigh. "I'm glad you trusted me. Let's go get this stopped right now. Where is this Jordan?"
"At home, with Angel."
"Let's hurry. We're going to the police."
Jordan took out a cigarette, put his feet up on the coffee table, and smiled, looking forward to another day with his little Angel. When Angel woke up, the cat was missing again, and she could hear Jordan's boots as he walked around the apartment. He was whistling. She looked at the window. It was narrow and had been painted shut years ago. Even if she hid under the bed, There was no escape. She felt like she was going to throw up. Jordan's footsteps approached. He opened the door. He was smiling.
"I brought breakfast in bed for my little girl," he said cheerfully. "Come and eat. You look a little pale."
Angel darted past him out of the bedroom door and mumbled, "I have to go to the bathroom." She stayed in the bathroom as long as she could, but the door had no lock, and she watched as he turned the knob from the outside.
"Your breakfast is getting cold," Jordan declared. "Don't you appreciate what I've done for you?"
"Thank you, Jordan, for the breakfast, but I'm not very hungry. Where's my cat?"
Jordan's loud laughter startled her.
"Ha! You think I killed that stupid cat? Not yet. Maybe I won't have to. Come here."
Angel's feet would not walk toward Jordan. His boots clumped on the bare wood floor as he walked over to her. He picked her up, then kicked open the bedroom door. He placed her gently on the bed.
"Today," he said softly, "we got the whole day to spend together. Ain't that grand?"
Angel trembled with disgust and fear. Jordan turned the radio up loud and closed her door. Jordan didn't hear the apartment door open. He didn't notice that Gerald had quietly opened Angel's door or that two uniformed police officers were standing there until just before they grabbed him and handcuffed him. He roared in anger and tried to get away, but it was too late. "Jordan Sparks, you are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can and will be used in a court of law. You have the right to..." They dragged him, screaming and cursing, from the house. Gerald watched with a grim smile.
"What happened, Gerald? How did you know? He said he killed Tiger. I'm sorry, Gerald. It's all my fault."
Angel was almost hysterical. Relieved at escaping what she feared and dared not imagine, she did not know how to react. Gerald tried to calm her down.
"Shh, shh, shh," he whispered. "I found someone that we could trust. I told him everything. He called the police and helped me to convince them to come here right away. I was afraid I would be too late."
"Oh, Gerald, was I bad? Is Jordan going to get in trouble because of me? It's all my fault."
"No, Angel," soothed Gerald. "It's not your fault, not even a little bit. Jordan was a very bad man. He was doing bad things. You did the right thing. I'm going to be here for you, and everything is going to be better. I promise."
Angel cried then, not for Jordan, but for herself, and for lost dreams, and for secrets in the night. Finally, she stopped sobbing and looked up at Gerald, who had wrapped his arms protectively around her.
"Where's my cat?"
she asked. Gerald laughed and let Tiger out of Monique and Jordan's bedroom. Angel squeezed the cat so hard that she burped. Gerald and Angel began to laugh uncontrollably. Gerald almost wet his pants, and Angel fell on the floor, rolling in laughter. That's how Monique found them when she marched through the door, angry and upset.
"What's so funny?" she screamed. "You think it's funny to send a man to jail for something he ain't done? You low-life children! I ought to kill both of you! How dare you lie on a good man like Jordan!"
Instantly serious, Angel and Gerald looked at Monique in amazement.
"Mama, it's true. I didn't make it up. Jordan's been bothering me for a long time. He comes in my room at night and he..."
"You lie!" roared Monique. "You filthy liar!"
Gerald spoke up. "I saw him do it, Monique. She ain't lying. He told her he would kill her cat if she told. I was the one that told. I've seen him coming out of her room at night. I'm sorry, Monique, but it's true." Monique threw her purse at him and burst into tears. She ran into her bedroom screaming and sobbing. Gerald and Angel exchanged glances.
"Looks like it's me and you, kid," Gerald said quietly. "Just me and you."
13. Gerald and Angel couldn't have made it through the trial without Mr. Washington. Monique was sometimes angry, often irritable, and always tense. She yelled at Angel for spilling her milk and blamed Gerald for the toast that she had burned. At the trial, she insisted on wearing a bright red satin dress, even though Gerald and Angel told her to wear something a little more business-looking.
If that's the last Jordan's gonna see of me before you two lying devils send him away, he's gonna remember me as looking good, she exclaimed.
We ain't lying, Mama,
Angel tried to explain, but Monique refused to listen. She didn't want to hear it. On the first day of the court proceedings, Gerald held Angel's hand as they sat on the worn brown wooden bench in the hall outside the courtroom. Monique's high heels clicked on the polished floor as she paced back and forth. She went down the hall to the bathroom 6 times in half an hour to check her makeup and hair. No one spoke. Just as the bailiff came into the hall to call them to the courtroom, Mr. Washington turned the corner and strode toward them, smiling. Gerald looked up and grinned with pleasure and relief.
I'm surprised. Man, am I glad you're here.
Mr. Washington replied in his deep, cheerful voice.
I figured you might need another hand to hold.
Hi there, Angel. Angel looked up shyly, but did not speak. Monique, returning from still another makeup check, patted her hair and smoothed her dress as she approached the tall, well-dressed man speaking to Gerald.
Monique, this is Darryl Washington. He's...
Just then, the court clerk called them a second time. Gerald was relieved that he didn't have to explain to Monique exactly how Mr. Washington had helped them. Not only had he helped Gerald and Angel file the proper papers to explain to the courts exactly how Jordan had been molesting Angel, but he had also made sure a caring and understanding social worker was assigned to their case. And he had found a wonderful female counselor for Angel, someone she could talk to about the bad dreams she sometimes had and the bad feelings left over from her experiences with Jordan. Monique gave one more curious glance at Darryl Washington as she hurried into the courtroom. She left the children standing in the hall, unsure of what to do. Mr. Washington took their hands, squeezed them in assurance, and escorted them into the courtroom. Jordan sat at a table on the right side of the room, his face angry, glaring as Angel and Gerald walked into the room. Jordan's lawyer, a thin man with dirty fingernails, shuffled his papers and checked his watch frequently. Monique sat in the first row, across from Jordan, in a position where he could see her well. She smiled at him, but he didn't even look at her. On the right side of the room sat the jury. Mostly women, they looked at Angel and Gerald without smiling, but their eyes showed understanding and perhaps even a bit of sympathy. Gerald and Angel were told by the prosecutor that they would only have to answer a few questions, and then they could leave the room. She told them that neither one of them was in trouble, and not to be overwhelmed or frightened by the proceedings. It was Jordan, she reminded them, that had done wrong, and he was the only one on trial. They were just witnesses. Gerald relaxed a bit and breathed in slowly. He felt stiff and uncomfortable in the tight, dark suit, and afraid of all the strangers who seemed to be controlling his life today. Angel trembled and sat close to Gerald. Mr. Washington sat in the row behind them and patted their shoulders.
I'll be right here, kids. Just relax and tell the truth. You'll be fine.
Gerald nodded, but he felt sick and dizzy. Angel's eyes were closed, and she breathed slowly and carefully. The prosecutor, a round woman dressed all in green, including green fingernails done to match her bright green shoes, began by explaining to the jury what the charges were against Jordan, describing him as a despicable monster. She said she hated putting the children through this, but their testimony was essential. Gerald's name was called first.
State your name, son.
Gerald Nickleby.
Do you understand that everything you say here must be the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
What grade are you in?
I'm in the 6th grade at Hazelwood Middle School.
How long have you been living with Jordan and Monique Sparks?
2 years, ever since my Aunt Queen died.
Do you get along with your parents?
Monique is my mother, but Jordan is not my daddy. He's Monique's husband, and he says he's Angel's daddy, but he's no father of mine.
What kind of father is Jordan?
No kind. He smacks me and punches me all the time. I got cuts and bruises all over me. But that ain't the problem. I can deal with that. It's what he does to Angel that I can't stand.
Can you explain?
Gerald looked at Monique. She was looking at Jordan, whispering, "I'm sorry," across the room. Gerald looked away in disgust and glanced at Mr. Washington. He still couldn't believe that a busy man would take the time to come and be with them. Mr. Washington smiled at Gerald in encouragement. Gerald took a deep breath.
"He goes into Angel's bedroom at night. He's messing with her, and it makes me sick."
"Have you ever seen him touch her in an improper way?"
"Well, no, but I know he does."
"Did she ever tell you?"
"She was really scared, but yeah, she told me about it finally. So I got help, and the police found him in her bedroom."
"Thank you, Gerald."
The defense lawyer asked only a few questions.
"Gerald," he began, "Mr. Sparks says you are lying. If you have never really seen him doing anything to Angel, how can you sit there and accuse him with no proof?"
"I see how scared Angel is, and I see how Jordan likes to touch her hair and put his hands on her back. I am not lying."
The lawyer shrugged, checked his watch, picked his nose, then said carelessly, "No further questions." Gerald sat down gratefully. When Angel's name was called, she almost fainted. Gerald walked with her and helped her sit in the witness chair.
"I'm only going to ask you a few questions, honey, okay? Don't be afraid, just tell the truth."
Angel nodded, barely able to breathe.
"Tell us your name."
"Angel Sparks."
"Do you understand that everything you say here must be the truth?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"What grade are you in?"
2nd grade.
"We're going to use this doll, okay? You just point to the doll to help you answer the questions, all right?"
Angel nodded again and hugged the doll the prosecutor gave her. She asked her about Jordan and what life was like with him. Angel whispered her answers, but she told the truth.
"Are you afraid of him?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"Can you tell us why?"
"He yells."
"Is that all?"
"He hits."
"Does he hit you?"
"Sometimes. Mostly, he hits Gerald and Mama."
"Does he ever hurt you?"
"Sometimes."
"How?"
Angel hesitated.
"He makes me play games."
"What kind of games?"
"Bad games."
"Can you explain what kind of bad games? I know this is hard for you, but we're almost finished."
"Touchy-feely games."
"Can you show me on the doll?"
The doll was really helpful. When the prosecutor asked Angel where Jordan had hit Gerald, for example, Angel pointed to the doll's back and face. And when she asked about where Jordan had touched her, Angel was able to use the doll to show what he had done. When the prosecutor was finished, the defense lawyer whispered to Jordan, started to get up, then sat back down.
"No questions, Your Honor."
"Thank you, Angel,"
the prosecutor in green said.
"That's all. You and Gerald can leave now.
You were very brave."
Angel and Gerald walked out of the courtroom together. Neither looked at Jordan. Monique refused to look at them. Mr. Washington took them both to lunch, but Angel couldn't eat. It took the jury less than an hour to decide his fate that afternoon. He was found guilty on all counts, and the judge, sentencing him immediately, gave him 6 to 10 years in prison. As he was taken away, Angel finally breathed deeply. Gerald watched the door close and smile with grim satisfaction. Finally, Jordan would be in a place where he could no longer threaten them. A caseworker was assigned to the family.